Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live Playoff Edition. We have a playoff caliber show today. Yes, we're going to talk about the injury report, JP's new favorite segment, dumb comments from dumb people. We're going to talk a ton of Chiefs Bills, do believe it or not, and our score predictions. My name is Quentin Morris. We got Thiz running the show in the background. And now two guys who love to sit around and complain about the weather is JP and Caleb. How are we doing today?
Good, good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Hey, man, when you get old, you complain about the weather. That's what you do.
Yeah.
At least for me, that's my case.
Yeah. Does it do your joints ache, you know, when it reaches 45 degrees outside?
No, it takes –
you know, because that's cold.
It's a little colder. It's a little colder than that when I start hurting.
Yeah. Tomorrow's going to be -9. So your right to complain about the weather has been revoked.
Yeah, sucks to be you. Not me, though. What's up, Jared? Yeah, it's not going to be that cold here. It's going to be rainy, but not that cold. 58 or 60, something like that.
Can I tell you that the first time that I, like, actually stayed in Las Vegas, like, did a vacation in Las Vegas, it rained?
Yeah, I'm re-seeing that.
Yeah, the whole time, wasn't it?
It was just – it was weird because, like, it didn't rain that hard. It was just a sprinkle, but I just couldn't – I was so fascinated that it rained in the desert. I was like – I couldn't believe it. It's like I found an oasis.
They average 4 inches a year. So
we'll take that, Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay. Injury report. That's where we're going to go into our first segment.
Injury report.
Good news for Chiefs fans. The Chiefs are actually only player that did not practice today that is on the 53-man roster, not on the injury report, or is not on the IR, is Derek Nnadi, who missed Wednesday and Thursday practice with a tricep injury. Sky Moore, who was moved off of the – or is moved into the 21-day window off of IR, he practiced. Kadarius Toney practiced. Justin Ross practiced. And L'Jarius Sneed practiced. And Wanya Morris, all of those guys were limited. Everybody else was a full participant in practice today. So I have kind of a hot take about Sky Moore, Toney, and Ross practicing. I don't know if that's a good thing. and I'll tell you why. No. I don't know if that's a good thing, because if any of them are available for the game, I feel like that just tempts the team to put them out on the field. And I don't know if I want any of them out on the field.
The only one that I would say maybe is Toney. And I would say that only on special teams right now, because he's fucking crazy good on special teams.
Here's the point, and this is the point we've been making, this show has been making, and Chiefs fans in general. 70% of your snaps need to go to Rice, Travis Kelce, and Pacheco. Yeah. Those are the three offensive players. You need to get like 70% of the snaps to those guys. And then the rest of the 30 can come from whatever conglomerate you want to put together. I don't really care at that point. And I feel like if the more people that you put out on the field, the more guys that are on the field, you're not taking from the 30, you're going to take from the 70. So I feel like you're going to make the team worse, the offense worse, if you put all these guys out onto the field.
I mean, I can agree with that. I still like Justin Watson out there because he always – has an impact every time.
He can get his two deep passes a game. Yeah. He can be part of the 30%. I don't mind him being out on the field. 70% needs to go to those three guys.
I agree. I mean, they're your bread and butter. I mean, when you really look at it, but
they really are. Don't take away from those guys.
No. And you're always, I mean, look, you're going to see MVS out there as a decoy, no matter what. That's just what they decided to do. It worked out well last week. He did catch one. He was only targeted twice. Yep. Got one for 8 yards and missed one. So, I mean, if he just happened to pull one straight out of his ass and catches one deep ball in the playoffs, I mean, that wouldn't hurt my feelings. But in the same aspect, I think I would probably have a stroke while the ball's in the air, because you never know what the hell's going to come of him. You don't know if he's going to be 10 yards behind it, if he's going to stop on his route, if he's going to be 10 yards in front of it, if he's going to trip, get a hangnail. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. But, hey, you know what? It worked last week, and that was frigid temperatures, colder than it's going to be in Buffalo, even though Buffalo had a ton of snow. It's still much colder in Kansas City than it is in Buffalo right now. So, and will be Sunday. So I'm okay with that. I mean,
think when they looked at it, because it was, you know, like negative 25 last week, with, you know, and then it was 75 degrees in Miami. So there was a 100-degree swing between Miami and Kansas City.
Yeah.
God, that's just crazy. On the Bills side of it, this is the more interesting part of the injury report. Defense is beat up. guys like Christian Benford, Terrell Bernard are a couple of the guys that missed. Their other linebacker, Spector, missed practice for a couple of knees, ankles, back injuries. There are a couple of guys that are on the injury report, but they've got vet rest. So Stephon Diggs and Leonard Floyd are on here as vet rest. You know, not really concerned about that, at least for they should be concerned about that. But look, this linebacking core for the Bills is very injured. A lot like when Buffalo faced Kansas City earlier in the year. Drew Tranquil was out, if you guys remember this. That was Nick Bolton's first game coming back from injury. So even though he played, he definitely wasn't at 4%. So the narrative on this game is kind of flipped, where Kansas City's linebacking core is the one that's healthy coming into the game. Mm-hmm. And it's Buffalo's team that's going to be facing a lot of their problems in the linebacking core.
Yeah, well, they thought the storm was going to be actually earlier in the week. So they assumed they were going to call a state of emergency again because they are getting another 3 to 4 feet of snow. It is what it is. The lake effect snow is real. But they're getting it tonight and tomorrow and possibly a little on Saturday, and then that's supposed to be the end of it. Okay. So I watched it tonight, and that I can't think, Ginger Z or whatever she is, she's never wrong. And she lives there. She said that it's unbelievable. They were showing images. And, you know, in Kansas City, when you saw a parking lot with snow piles in it, you thought, okay, that's a lot of snow. They have them, like, four or five of those that are 12 and 15, 20 feet high every block in Buffalo.
That's
right
ridiculous.
Now. Yeah, and can I say something?
No.
I'm going to say it anyway. Buffalo, as an organization, you know how much they're worth, right? They're worth $4 billion. Right now, Buffalo is worth $4 billion. Now, I'm not saying that's what they'll sell for, because they'll sell for about $7 or $8 billion. But their core value is $4 billion. $4 billion with a B. They actually went to the fans today and said, can you please come and shovel snow
out
of the stadium? Yes. And they want to do it. They want them to do it basically from now until Saturday, but they're not going to pay them or feed them.
They did it the last time they paid and feed them.
Not now. Mm. Not offering it. Nothing. You get nothing. One guy said, I'll do it for tickets. I said, man, you ain't even getting a Hot Pocket. How the hell you think they're going to give you $1,000 tickets? Come on.
That's a good point.
What team, what franchise would ever ask their fan base, a lot of fans that probably would never be able to make it to a game, especially a playoff game, to go out there and shovel their snow for free? And you don't get water or hot cocoa. You know, you don't even get oven mitts. You keep bring what you got. If you're warm, you're warm. If you're not, you're not. Don't know what to tell you. Just come out and shovel our snow so we can play a playoff game. That's sad. That's sad in so many ways. That's a cheap-ass organization. I'm sorry. If you can't afford to shovel your own snow and get some people out there and pay them, I don't know what to tell you. But that's jacked up. Anyway, moving on. I just had to bring that up because it was pretty egregious of them to ask the fans to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after four failed Super Bowls and not making it since Josh Allen.
That's there. A good point. Yeah, exactly. And they just haven't done. I mean, last time they paid him, but I mean, if they're not going to pay him this time, that doesn't make any sense. But
no, I think part of the problem is that they're so cheap. They saw a bunch of guys sliding down the snow chutes, you know, that are in between the aisles and playing and shit. They figure, why are we giving them $20 an hour? I mean, we're going to go ahead and give them, you know, right at that poverty stage in Buffalo. If it's not a little below poverty stage, because everything there is expensive. So let's bitch about it if they have a little fun while they're doing it.
Right. Yeah, maybe that could be a reason.
Stupid. But anyway, moving on. Who else is injured?
That is, I mean, those are the, like I said, Kansas City's pretty healthy. It's Buffalo that's injured. Their defense is injured, specifically their linebacking core. I'm interested to see how that plays. Specifically, Kansas City, one of the talking points is that Nick Bolton, Andrew Tranquil are going to play in this game. So I don't feel like that's been talked about enough, that Kansas City is going to be able to bring the guys that stop a running quarterback are going to be playing in this game.
Now, I understand Nick Bolton was playing. He was just limited.
He was just injured. I mean, he was his first game back. Came off of his injury. So
yeah, it was his first game back. So yeah, and I think Phillip's right. I think Gabe Davis is out.
No, that's a wide receiver.
Yeah, Gabe Davis is also one of the guys that now nobody on the team has been is out. He just hasn't practiced.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing. So yeah, I don't think he's playing. He got banged up pretty bad in that last game, and I don't know if he's. I think he hyperextended it, and then he had a bone bruise, and it was a pretty bad one. It was worse than Kelsey's, from what I understand. So, is what it is. What's the next topic here, guys?
Your favorite topic.
Oh,
we've got dumb comments.
Stupid post. Stupid post by stupid people.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, if anybody does. If you don't know what this is when I go onto Twitter and I see a post, whether it be from a national reporter or anyone else for that matter, and then I read the comments. And the comments actually get me. Because I don't know if people are – Caleb, you're a teacher, right? Yeah, I know you are. Explain to people what when a kid is in your classroom, and you're a high school teacher, so that's a little bit different. And I don't know if these guys are in their – you know, below, like in middle school or below, if they're just sneaking on Twitter. I really don't know what it is. Your kids are pretty well versed in the area of reading, right? I mean, they do know how to read, literate.
Yeah.
Some of these people on Twitter, I really have to question. I sit back and I read these things and I go, wow, did they really post this after reading what was said?
Mm-hmm.
Read it, or they cannot read, or they, is Stevie Wonder doing his shit for him? I don't know. All I know is that some of these people are dense. So here we go. ML Football and others put out today that, actually it was a while back. It said, if you read this, it says they may have to cancel practice this week due to an anticipated 2 feet of new snow and a travel ban per the AP. Now that's Associated Press. The weather for their games versus the Chiefs is expected to feel like a negative 3 degrees, which is summer compared to what the Chiefs played in with the Dolphins. Some of the replies were, why wouldn't they just build a dome? Why can't you put a dome up? Where's it at? And it's 2024. Why don't they have an indoor practice facility? Let's see, it says, if they go and hit an indoor practice facility, plenty of facilities can be rented if needed. Do you guys see any of this, what I'm seeing here? It's this one. That's why most teams have inside practice facilities. What the hell? A dome where's it at? So the Chiefs will be playing in a warmer weather than last week. Yeah, that's true. Smart thing for the Bills to do is see if another team that isn't in the playoffs or college has facilities they can utilize out of state. If anybody read that original tweet, it says because of a travel ban. So that means you can't leave your home. It has nothing to do with them having an indoor practice facility. It has nothing to do with them going somewhere else and practicing. You can't leave your house.
Because there's 4 feet of snow on the ground.
Correct. And it's a state of emergency. So I replied back to a couple of them and I said, you do realize this is about the travel ban, right? Well, a dome would fix that. How the fuck are you going to get to the dome?
Because JP, it's like the Simpsons movie. They're going to put a dome over the city and it'll be fine.
I don't understand how people get through a day. I really don't. I read some of these tweets. I mean, today there was another one put out, and I didn't have time to get them all up here, but we'll do them next week because it's funny. I'm just blown away that people actually get through a day. I really don't know how they do it. I don't know how they get great. If they're in school, I'm sure they're flunking out. And Caleb, I know you'd flunk them.
I don't do all that.
Anyway, that's just part of it. We got a lot more to that coming. I go through them daily just to see what stupid people say. And then I save them just for this reason. And I bookmark a whole lot of stuff. I've probably got 300 or 400 bookmarks now that I could go through and just, we could have archive stupid people. We can archive that in the summertime. So with that being said, we can move on to the next chat topic. What is that, Quentin? You know, I don't.
What?
You put the next chat topic.
Oh, I thought we were going to keep talking about.
No, if you guys want to talk about it, go ahead.
Just can't. I don't know. Sometimes reading's hard. Okay, I think that's what we get, and sometimes reading's hard, and that's just the way that it is. We got to accept it. Reading's hard. To all my dyslexic friends out there, it's okay. It's okay. We'll be fine. We'll get through it. Chiefs Bills. That's what we're going to talk about. So. JP, why don't you just start with your general thoughts on Chiefs Bills?
Well, I put some stats up because actually Fizz did it. I just pulled the stats out today because I wanted to talk about this a little bit. There's some wild shit. This is just one of the stats this year alone. Now, this does not include yak. Understand that. Does not include projected yak yards. On dropped balls by receivers, Patrick Mahomes lost 363 yards. 363 yards without yak. Now, we know that Rice, Kelce, most of those guys are big yak guys. At least 7 to 15 yards after the catch. That doesn't even take into consideration. And then think about this. What about the touchdowns that he lost? Because if you really consider it, last year I think they had 19 drop passes, and there was 25%. They averaged about 24.5% were in the end zone. So you figure there's, what, you know, 5-6 touchdowns lost last year? And that doesn't even take into consideration the amount of first downs and progression down the field, even if it wasn't a touchdown at that point. It still could have very well been. That's virtually impossible to calculate. But yardage-wise, if you take the style of pass that it is, compare it to last year, and the yak gained on those passes last year, he probably lost close to 700 yards total. That's insane that he did that and then still put up over 4,000 yards on the season. That's insane. And that's on 40 drops, by the way. 40 drops on the season. Not the playoffs, but the regular season in 17 games. Next, what's the next stat there, Thiz? Oh, defense. This is nuts. Defense allowed 39 touchdowns this year.
I'm bad.
Third in the NFL. That's pretty damn strong. No matter how you look at it, that's powerhouse. That's straight up strong. They were just behind the Browns, and I believe it was the Ravens in total touchdowns allowed in the NFL. That is a strong number when you really consider it. What's the next? Oh, pressure points. Fourth down conversions allowed, 50%, first in the NFL. There was two teams, I'm sorry, that they allowed them on, the Eagles, and there was one, I believe it was Denver, but I know the other ones were with the Eagles. There was only not very many attempts on a fourth down conversion.
I feel like with the Chiefs, though, a lot of the attempts has been between four from short, too.
Yeah.
Especially against the Eagles. It was like four or five, and they just did a tush push, and they got it.
Exactly. But 50% when you're fourth and one, that's pretty damn good because most teams get it on fourth and one. The average probability, I think, is like 68%, 70% in that range that they're going to get it. Sometimes it's even higher depending on the defense that you're playing. It could be up in the 80% range that they're going to get it. That's pretty strong. So the next one, 294 total points allowed this season. That's second in the NFL, only behind the Bills at 284. They allowed 10 more yards or 10 more points. So are they 10 less points? I apologize. They had 284. We only allowed 294. That's pretty strong, especially with the teams that we played. Think about it. Miami, the Eagles, both of them higher scoring offenses at the time. The Bills that were actually high scoring in offense at the time. All these teams that we played that were really high scoring offenses, they didn't score on us. So that's pretty strong, no matter how you look at it. We have one more. Oh, there it is. 43.6% third down conversions allowed. That's number one in the NFL. There's not another team that allowed less first downs or on third down conversions than us. Did, just out of curiosity, did either one of you guys at any point in the last 5 years expect that we were going to have a defense that was that powerful?
No.
I mean,
there was always going to be something. It was like, we're going to struggle.
Exactly.
But look, now we're at the point where it takes a lot of really good drafting.
Yeah.
To get to that point, because you're not going out and spending big money in free agency, especially not at premium positions like corners or defensive edge rushers, right? You can't afford that in Kansas City. You started to pay your quarterback. You can't afford to go out and spend all this money on corners and defensive edge rushers, which are premium positions. Instead, what do you have to do? You have to draft them and you have to develop them within your system and use them accordingly. And that's what Kansas City has done. It is so impressive when you break down what Brett Veach and this team has been able to do by going out and spending limited resources on cornerbacks and defensive linemen. I think, and this is a conversation we can have in the offseason, I think that there's no more stigma on Brett Veach and what he can do for each position, right? I think heading into the year, there was the question of what can he do at the wide receiver? Well, he drafted Rashee Rice, so he deserves credit for that. I think 2 years ago, there was the question of can he draft a defensive edge rusher? George Karlaftis had a double-digit sack season. Yeah, so this is a team that has been able to draft money or draft players, spend money wisely. And even when they go out and they spend a ton of money, they get a guy like, oh, I don't know, Charles Omenihu, who has proven to be one of the better guys on this team. What Brett Veach has been able to do is impressive, and it continues to get more and more impressive.
We have two more of them really quick. For one's defense, one's offense. I don't remember which one's coming first. I think it's defense. If you have it, this. But I can tell you what it was. They allowed 17.3 points per game this season, which is also, I believe, second in the NFL, just behind the Ravens. Let me see. Is that right? The Ravens? I think so. It was the Ravens. It was originally the Bills, and that went away. It was the Ravens. No, it was the Bills. I'm sorry. It was just they were second behind the Bills. So 17.3 points per game allowed, second in the NFL. Blows my mind. Here's the one that I think is the most impressive, given the fact of all the trouble that we've had on offense this year with drops and miscues and routes ran wrong, things of that nature. Rashee Rice, let's talk about explosive. He set a rookie high by any rookie. Now, this is a 100 yards attempt. 77.5. catch rate, which is the highest of any rookie.
That's good.
Any rookie ever with 100 minimum snaps. This kid is absolutely a true number one wide receiver next year. There's no doubt in my mind he is not going to hit a wall. He's not going to hit a sophomore wall. All he is doing is progressing and getting better and better and better. And that is, you're right, Quentin, we did the right thing. We drafted the right player. Quentin Johnson, I'm sorry, but you just didn't make the cut.
The only thing that's good about Quentin Johnson is the spelling of his first name.
Yeah. So now I'm not going to say he was a total bust, because he wasn't. He had two really good catches this year. I went back and looked. He had two good catches.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were easy. He dropped a ton of passes. He wasn't used a whole lot. But this kid, damn, 77%.
That's pretty insane, good, man. Compared that's to insane. What some things we've seen in the past.
Absolutely. I mean, especially in a, and look, what makes it even more impressive is that he did it in an Andy Reid offense. That's what's the most impressive about it. You can't ask for more out of a rookie wide receiver than we got out of Rashee Rice this year. Mm-hmm. You really can't. So that's it. In a nutshell, this team is not nearly as bad as everybody wants to make it out to be. Have they had their struggles? Absolutely. Nobody can deny that. But when you really break it down and you look at it, with all the struggles that they've had, there's bright spots everywhere. Not just a couple like other teams have. Oh, yeah, there's a spark here and there. We see flashes. These are guys that have come out, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and have actually did it week in and week out every week. If it wasn't for the 127-point game that they gave up when they were just dead dog tired, every week was a short week. It was horrible on them, and they were spent. They would have been probably number one in points allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that one game that got them, that one game. So, and by the way, if you take out the 127-point game and the 124-point game, every other game was 20 points and below. Every other game. That's fucking nuts to think about with all the teams that we played this year. That's crazy numbers. Not going to complain.
Well, going back multiple years, Kansas City has won 45 straight games in a row when they've allowed 24 or less points, or 21 or less points.
17, actually, but yeah. Yeah.
So, look, Kansas City has a defense that this team, I think the reason why we've had the thought process we have all year is because we have such high expectations for a Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid offense. And we correct. Should, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is the same quarterback head coach that had 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. This is the same one where, you know, they were a part of the greatest Monday Night Football game of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Two Super Bowl champion, right? Like, I could keep going, but you get the point. This is a team that needs to play through the run game and play through your defense. I don't care if you kick 6 field goals, because I know that my defense isn't going to let up that many points. So mm-hmm. if you get to the red zone 7 times and you kick 6 field goals and score 1 touchdown, yeah, I'd much rather you get more touchdowns. But I still feel confident that my team is going to win when you do that. Mm-hmm. I'm to the point now where, Siri, if we have this serious conversation, would you rather be up by 4 and have your defense play out to win the game, or be mm-hmm. down by 4 and give your offense the opportunity to go down and win the game? I think a lot of people would pick the defense because the defense is just that crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, I get what Phillip's saying, you know, being more fit. And
yeah,
we do need to be more
efficient.
It'd be
awesome if they could score 6 touchdowns in the red zone.
That'd be nice. That would be great.
And I think they're going to get there.
If they could score 42 points a game, that'd be great. Yeah. But
I think they'll get there.
It's
I do.
Not
going to
bother me as much as it would have in the past, because I know that if I score 26 points, then my defense can keep any offense below that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Take the points. I'm in mm-hmm. take the points mode. Don't go for, you know, don't go for the fourth. Don't go for the 4th and 2 to try and get yourself in a better position to score a touchdown. No, take the 3. Take the 3. Move on. Because my defense can play better than your defense. It's like the old, you know, my dad can beat up your dad. You know,
yeah.
It's like that. My defense is better than your offense. Let's just move forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This game, I think, is going to come down to our defense. I don't think it's really going to come down to anything else. It's our defense. If our defense mm-hmm. does what they normally do and what they actually did to him the last time, everything will fix itself. And I believe that. Look, we have a better defense than Cincinnati ever thought about having. And they put an ass whipping 31-10 on the Bills in the AFC Championship, or no, the divisional round. So there's no possibility that we are going to go out there and just be flat-footed. Unless something look. And by the way, Legarius Sneed is right now, in my opinion, probably number 2, if not number 1 in the league.
Ooh.
There's okay. not, man, if you go, dude, if you go and look at, I went today, I went through every corner in the league, every corner. And I'm thinking, okay, who was better than him? Who actually had a better season in 17 games. And then, not to even take that, take the 17 games out of the equation, just in one game against the one of the best wide receivers, top three wide receiver in the league. Mm-hmm. And that's Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
You can't ask for more. There's no
the one catch, two catches, something like that.
One catch for the long one, and then he had one more, I believe, that was.
Oh, he wasn't guarding him. I think was it Watson?
Watson was guarding him on the long.
Was guarding him on that long play, but it wasn't.
Correct. Speed. He only allowed one catch on Tyreek. Only got one catch on Snead himself, and I think it was for 8 yards. It wasn't even anything special. So. If you look at this team, and look, they got more weapons in Miami. There's no doubt about that. They've got Waddle, Tyreek. What's that kid's name? Is his name Jones? He's really good. Another wide receiver they got. They got a good tight end. They got two good running backs.
Shakir, I think his name is a wide
receiver. What's his
name? I think
what's his name?
Shakir?
Yeah, that's him. That's him, yeah. No, good. I'm talking about Miami. I'm just talking about Miami. I think his name is Jones, but I can't remember for sure.
Okay.
Anyway, they're all top-tier wide receivers, every one of them. He doesn't have, like, slouches on that team. There's nobody on that team that's really a slouch in the offensive side of the ball. And they had no – they had 199 yards. 199 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking impressive, dude. No matter how you – I know it was cold – but it's football, so
I don't know. Couldn't crack 200, lame.
Yeah, couldn't crack 200 yards. So the motherfuckers couldn't crack an egg. They couldn't do anything right in that game. But that's a testament to how good our defense is. And we did it the first time, so they could say it's the cold. They could say it's this. They could say it's that. Tyreek had the exact same yardage in the game in Frankfurt, in a dome, in beautiful weather, temperatures. Then
and he fumbled too.
And he fumbled. So. And then they didn't have Waddle in that Frankfurt game.
No, nope,
they did in this one. So, man, I'm sorry, but this defense is stupid. The one thing I thought about this a lot, Quentin, and I'm going to say something that I probably never thought I'd say. If they have to give up Willie Gay, okay, because their number one fucking priority right now is to keep that secondary together. Snead has to stay on this football team. You'd be stupid. A stupid, stupid, stupid man as a GM to let go of Snead. You extend his ass and keep him.
You have to.
You're not going to find another one like him. And the way Veach has been thinking over the last couple of years, because Caleb and I talked about this in 2018, 2019, he hated corners. He was a four-corner guy. Fuck it. I don't know. All I need is four corners. I don't need anybody else. Well.
He doesn't think like that now.
Yeah. Wilson is that other kid. And Claypool, he sucks. He kills every team he goes to. I don't know what the hell happened to him. Ever since he left Pittsburgh, he has killed every team since then.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to keep Snead. You don't have a choice. You'd fuck this team up royally by letting him go. Not only has he been a huge mentor for McDuffie and everybody else for that matter, but he's made those guys better. And each week he gets better and better and better. We thought he was good last year. Shit. He's turned it on up another level like I never thought he would do. Mm-hmm. And I know he wants to stay, so I bet he stays. There's no doubt in my mind. Snead, I mean, I don't think Veach is stupid enough to let him go. I just don't think. Now, I could be wrong, but I've asked around and everybody says, no, they're trying to work that deal out with him. And
ooh, get him okay. So, well, hey, hopefully they can get it figured out because we need him.
Oh, man. I mean, like none other, we need him. So, you know, we could, you know, the Willie Gay, yeah, maybe we can replace him. Has he been great east to west, north to south? Hell yes. Is he athletic as hell? Hell yes. But, you know, that's that is like one of those.
Chanel.
Yeah, and but Chanel, I don't think Chanel's done as well. But
he's a replacement, I feel like.
I know. It's going to suck, though. I don't know if he's as strong as Willie Gay. He's not near – I don't think he has
the – I agree, but they saw a good guy on the board and, like, we're going to take him because he's there. Why not?
I'm wondering if Coach – what's his name? Jack Cochran doesn't step up and really
– He could. That could be another person.
Because he's a big, strong guy.
I know, but you got to – Drew Tranquil's on a one-year deal, too.
Two.
They got to replace –
He's on a two-year deal.
They got to replace him.
No, he's on a two-year deal.
I thought he was on a one.
No, I think he's on a one with an option, and I think they're going to keep him.
Okay.
From what I think Philip and I talked about this. I think he's on a one with an option, and I think they're going to keep him on that option deal. You can't.
He signed a 1-year deal.
Yeah, with an option. So it is a 1-year deal as of right now, but he's got an option to come back for the second year. Mm-hmm. He's only 28 years old. So, yeah, you could pay Snead like that. I mean, you can. $10 million a year, 2-year deal. Although I'd probably try to lock him up for – I'd lock him up for 4 years.
Three or four years.
No way does he only get 10 mil.
He's going to want 15.
I think he's probably going to want around 12 to 14 is what he'll want. And you know what? Veach would be stupid not to give it to him. If you if you brought in what's his name? What's the guy's name on the practice squad that they were planning on using in the playoffs? The one they just – the defensive lineman. Bugs? You bring him in. What was the point of bringing him in? What was the reason behind that? You know you got Omenihu for the next year. This guy is really good. And you probably aren't going to have Chris Jones next year. So you bring him in on a great deal and you keep him.
Well, the Chris Jones thing, you know, it frees up $30 million. So
yeah.
You got that going for you, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, thoughts?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about this game. Man, this game's going to be close. This is going to be it's actually crazy how similar Kansas City and Buffalo are this year. I mean, just from sort of some of the storylines, some of the thoughts about the teams, these teams, you know, have been, it's crazy that the NFL is looking for the next Brady Manning rivalry, right? Mm-hmm. They're looking for that top dog and the guy that just keeps fighting each other in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Since Patrick Mahomes has been in the league, they've met up 6 times, right? Kansas City has beat them 3. Buffalo has beat them 3. And this is the first time that Mahomes is going on the road in the playoffs. That's a huge storyline. I don't think it means anything, you know, just necessarily, because Mahomes is a better quarterback on the road for some godforsaken reason.
I know why. Because he likes to embarrass people in their own homes. I know that for a fact. So 100%. We talked about this,
literally said in a press conference that he likes being the villain.
Well, we found out 2 years ago. We've been saying on this show for like 2 years, that's what he wants to do. We couldn't figure it out. Everybody said we were crazy. You know, when I'd say, why does he play so much better on the road than he does at home? Me and Caleb brought this up numerous times on the show. And then we had people in the chat go, what are you fucking nuts? Well, he does. He plays more dominant on the road. Mm-hmm. And then we found out through people that we talked to, he likes to embarrass people in his own home. And now he's come out and said it. I like to be the villain. Mm. It's the first time he's actually said it publicly, but we've known for 2 years.
Yep.
And that's just what it is. He wants to be that guy.
No, he has said in a press conference that he kind of likes to be the villain. And this game, either way, man, this game's going to be close. Last week when we were facing Miami, I said that you'll be sitting on your couch and you won't, you know, you can sit on your seat because you'll be able to use all of it. Yeah, mm-hmm. You won't use the full, you'll use only the edge of your seat for this game. This game's going to come down to the very end. And we'll get to our score predictions in a minute. But I think that Buffalo and Kansas City are just two teams that, while I don't think it's the Mahomes-Brady that the NFL and pundits seem to just want so badly. Mm-hmm. I do think that these teams mirror each other so nicely. I mean, it seemed like Buffalo has built this team to compete with the Chiefs.
Yes.
And it has worked out for them, right? It just hasn't in the playoffs. On the flip side, Josh Allen is a better quarterback at home than he is on the road. He's 500 on the road this year. He's 6-2 at home. If you just look at like his ESPN rating, their quarterback rating is significantly higher at home. So it's just like, to me, this is like unmovable object meets unstoppable force,
mm-hmm.
right? Something's going to have to give here. And if you are not a fan of either one of these two teams, sit back, eat the popcorn and see what happens, because this is going to be a hell of a game.
There's a lot of non-Chiefs fans out there.
There's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of fireworks in this game. This is the kind of game that the NFL wants, and it's going to have AFC Championship vibes despite being the divisional round.
Yep,
I agree. What do you think, Caleb?
I agree. I think what Quinn says is right. I think, yeah, we're going to see some touchdowns, but I think some hits are going to happen too. I mean, the way if you look kind of how things work, the Bills are not just going to lay down. That's just not going to happen. But I do believe the Chiefs can do things specifically different than they done last time. If they can score a touchdown instead of field goals and they get some stops, they can get Allen to fumble the ball, throw some interceptions, the Chiefs can capitalize on those turnovers. We're talking about a very, very, very different ball game. The Chiefs lost 20-17 against the Bills, and the defense kept them in. The offense just couldn't score.
Yeah.
I think if the offense score a couple more times, they can alleviate some of those issues. But the thing is that the Bills are going to run the ball. They are going to run the ball. So
I hope they do, to be honest.
They're going to, because they believe in James Cook, which is fine. But they're going to try to do different things. The Chiefs need to be ready for all things, trick plays, run the ball. I mean, it's going to be cold, for goodness sake, so there's not going to be much passing. Josh Allen may do some, but also know, too, is he has a tendency to take some shots. So our corners and our safeties need to be ready to jump routes and things like that. And also, you got to shut down Diggs. If you can't shut down Diggs, you're going to have
a lot. We did the last time.
Yeah, they have, but they need to continue to do that.
What Philip said is right.
They're not as experienced.
Yeah, I saw that, Will. What Philip just said is right. He's, you know, you got to disrupt Allen's rhythm early, and that's true. The one thing that I think I can see out of this game is the fact we do have a healthy Nick. We do have Drew Tranquil in the game. You know, everybody's healthy on the defensive side of the ball, and all of our, you know, our star players are there. I don't know if Allen – look, Allen's playoff record, not just against us but against other teams, is not great. Mm-hmm. We know that. I mean, he lost to Cincinnati, which he probably shouldn't have. And it was not even the fact that it was a loss. It was a really bad loss. They got their asses handed to them.
Yep.
So, and that was at, that was in Buffalo. That was in Orchard Park. So he may play, he may do well at home in regular season, but in the playoffs, he has not.
And that's the thing, though, too. I expect some fireworks, but I also know, too, the Chiefs defense is so much better. I mean, last time we played Buffalo Bills in the playoffs, they were doing whatever they wanted to do. I do believe at this point, the Chiefs are in a better spot to limit those big plays, but the offense has to step up. Mahomes is going to have to put the team on his back. Guys like Clyde, who we're not expecting to step up. If Sky Moore's there, and I know Quentin's a little scared, and MVS, they got to catch the ball.
Yeah, right, Caleb. This has to be a team effort. Your superstars are not going to win you this game. This is going to be anybody and everybody. If you're 53 man on the roster, you're going to need something for this game.
Absolutely.
This actually leads us into our next segment, believe it or not. So I've got three here. You know, I've got a couple of talking points that I want to go in after this. So I actually want to talk about something that we brought up earlier, Josh Allen's running ability. Can Kansas City stop him from, you know, getting those huge runs? We saw he had a 52-rushing touchdown against the Steelers last week. So does Josh Allen, believe it or not, Josh Allen does not have a double-digit run.
I believe that.
He's going to get a double-digit run. It's Josh Allen.
I don't think he will. You mean like 10 yards or something?
Yeah,
like he might get
double
that.
Digits.
But it's not good. He ain't getting no 52 yards on us, believe me. He'd be lucky to get 12 yards on us because they're going to be waiting for that. Pittsburgh does not have the fucking linebacking core we have. They just don't. And they didn't have Bosa in that. I mean, not Bosa.
TJ Watt.
TJ Watt in that game. No, man. He ain't going to have those same luxuries that he had with Pittsburgh. He's just not. I don't see it happening. I don't even know. Look, he tries that. He's going to get hurt. Justin Reed's going to come out of nowhere, or you're going to have somebody spying on his ass in the middle, and they're going to blast him. And that could be a Drew Tranquil because he's the guy that's big enough and strong enough to put Josh Allen on his back. I don't know, man. I don't see it, but go ahead.
Unfortunately, I'm with Caleb on this one. There's going to be a 3rd and 8. And Josh Allen's going to roll out of the pocket. Nobody's going to be open because Kansas City's defensive backfield is good enough to cover everybody. And Josh Allen's going to run for 12 yards on a 3rd and 8. And it's going to be so frustrating, and you're going to want to, like, punch your TV, but you won't because you don't want to have to go to Walmart and buy a new TV.
Definitely don't want to do that.
So the next one, I actually want to keep this conversation going. Pressure versus sacks. My whole thing is that pressure is a – offensive line stat. Sacks are a quarterback stat. Josh Allen does a piss poor job of getting himself into situations to where he can be sacked, but does a great job of getting himself out of the opportunity for defensive linemen to get sacked. Mm-hmm. If you get to Josh Allen, you have to tackle him. You can't arm tackle him, though. You can't just wrap, you know, halfway wrap your arms around him. He's not Kyler Murray. You know, this is a big individual. Believe it or not, Kansas City gets two or more sacks on Josh Allen.
Caleb, you go first.
Two more sacks. This is a tough one.
I know. I try to make him tough.
Because when you look at Josh Allen, he's very elusive. He's able to do many different things we're not expecting him to do sometimes. He's able to sometimes get out of the backfield, and sometimes he does some dumb things. I'm going to say no. I think they can get one to one and a half, but for two sacks to happen, that means the defensive line is on another level, like they're dialed in. He's just too elusive. Now, he may get something where he avoids a sack and gets a couple yards. I see that more happening more so than not. But to get two sacks, I just think that's going to be a tough task that they're just not going to be able to find right now.
Okay. I think they can get two sacks.
Okay. Man, I love your confidence.
I do. I think they can get two. And the only reason I say that is because we've seen him – we've seen our defense get four and five sacks on quarterbacks that are a lot more mobile than he is. So when you really think about it, I don't know if there's another secondary out there that he's played like ours. So he's not going to have anybody to throw to. And that's when you take advantage of it. And I think they can get those two sacks. I see a Minshew getting one, and I see Karlaftis and Chris Jones splitting one. Easy.
I think you're right. Karlaftis to me seems like a guy that's going to get it, just because if these plays are so far out extended, mm-hmm. Karlaftis is the one that's fighting the entire time.
He has a motor.
So, yeah, he's got that endless motor. So I think that him just go, and the play just keeps on ticking by, he's inevitably going to get one. Mm-hmm.
Or he's going to push him into somebody else.
Right. So I do think that Karlaftis, that one makes sense. If Kansas City gets three or four sacks on Josh Allen, I think that would be that's a good way to start to get yourself to a win. Mm-hmm. My thing is I don't think there's going to be problem getting the pressure. To me, it's just going to get your arms around him and bring him to the ground. And,
yeah, finishing. That's
so I think the first part is there. I just don't know if you're going to be able to get into the ground that much. But pressure and can be just as effective as a sack. Getting a guy in your face, especially somebody who is known to be a little turnover prone, you know, a guy that doesn't make the smartest decisions, if you're running him out towards the sideline, you know, maybe he's still in the tackle box and you force him to make an intentional grounding call, right? So Kansas City's defense, even if they don't sack him a lot, you can still make impactful plays just by getting in his face.
Well, here, one thing I will say real quick before we move to the next one. The one thing I've noticed Kansas City has done really good job of this year, especially since Minshew came into the fold because he was out the first six games, is they're great at creating that cup. Mm-hmm. When you create that cup, he has nowhere to go. And if you can do that with the pressure from the left and the right, the left in, your right side's going to get up there. At some point, your right side's there. So we have enough interior linemen and strong interior linemen right now that I think they're creating that perfect cup. And if the secondary is doing their job, I don't know, man.
No, sorry.
What do you say? I can see one real sack and one where Allen slips in the snow and is able to avoid contact. That could be true. You never know. That could be true. But that's just what I see with the defense. I mean, the line's been doing a really good job of that. And then the linebackers also help a whole lot with that.
Yeah, I think the linebackers are a huge thing.
Absolutely.
I've got my last believe it or not here. I think this is just a fun one that I know we're all going to agree on. So believe it or not, Pacheco has 100 yards from scrimmage.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All purpose or just running?
Just all purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to talk about Isaiah Pacheco. I'm going to be honest with you. That's why I put this one in. Isaiah Pacheco was a beast, and we're going to need him.
Mm-hmm. What's SI?
C. That's yes in Spanish.
Oh, all right. Sorry. I thought he just missed it. You never know what you see in here. C. He's going to get 100 yards. And look, man, Don't be surprised if Clyde doesn't come out of somewhere and bring up something crazy out of the backfield.
I think having Clyde come in as that third down back, the mix it up every once in a while, has been perfect for him. Because he's a nice change of pace. He seems to come in and run with a little extra giddy up, and then he goes out on the sidelines. So
and he's not getting injured.
Clyde coming in.
Not getting injured.
Look, I think they figured out the backfield rotation. Pacheco is definitely going to be a big need into this game. And like I said, I only put him in the believe it or not because I wanted to talk a little Pacheco for a minute. It's my segment, my rules, deal with it.
Okay, well, here's one that you didn't even bring up. I want to know what you think. And I like Phillip's numbers. I was thinking somewhere in that range as far as his total yardage. If he gets two touchdowns, I'm going to dance the jig. You might hear about me running down the strip naked if he gets two touchdowns.
Don't be like Alabama, man.
Hey, man, you never know. We didn't bring up Rashee Rice at all about this game, or Travis Kelce for that matter.
I mean, I said that, you know, those are your three, right? Those are the guys you get involved.
What do you think they're going to be able to do? What do you think Rice can do in this game comparatively to what he did in Miami?
Okay, eight. What does he have? What do you have? Eight catches, 130 yards,
and almost two touchdowns. One was taken.
Right. I mean, if you're treating him like a number one wide receiver again, right?
Yeah. Which you will.
Which you will. You got to figure that the Buffalo defense is a little bit better than what they had in Miami because Miami had three guys collecting social security checks on the defensive line. So,
yeah, but you got three guys on Buffalo right now trying to get disability.
That's true. That's true. No. You're right. You're right. I'm just, you know, just going out loud here. I think he's going to have more catches because I don't think he's going to have as many big plays. So, but I think the yardage is probably about right. So let's say, I mean, a 10 catches and 115 yards.
Okay. What do you think, Caleb?
I'm going to say 10 catches, 115 yards. That's something that's doable, but I feel like he's going to get anywhere between 80 to 95. But within those catches of 80 to 95, it's going to be some big plays and some touchdowns in there. I do believe they're going to scheme, Amy's going to scheme him to where he's going to be open a lot. But also for like two, they're going to have to rely on a couple other guys. So, yeah, we can put our eggs in the basket with Rice. But also know, two, it's just a lot of moving parts here. So I think regardless of the outcome, I believe Rice can get his yards. Yeah, he may eclipse 100. But they're going to need some reduction from the other guys that can do just not as much, but half or maybe a little bit more than half. Maybe a guy can step up that we're not talking about or thinking about.
Well, Phillip says he's got eight catches for 86 yards, two touchdowns. Kelce gets five catches, 39 yards, and two touchdowns.
I don't know if you're scoring four touchdowns.
It's possible, but that means the Bills defense has to be beat up and the Chiefs has played the best offensive game of the season. And honestly, you really need those for the AFC Championship game and Super Bowl. Like, are they going to page 50 on the play sheet now, or what are they going to do?
Well, I think they have – said Phillip has us getting six TDs.
42 points. I mean, it's possible, but it's also like, I don't know.
Yeah. I can't see it being that high, but I can see – I think Rice has the ability in this game, especially if Kelce is on his game. And that's the biggest thing right there. If Kelce's on his game, I can absolutely see Rice getting 115 to 130 yards in this game.
Mm-hmm.
If Mahomes is doing what he's known to do throughout his career, and especially in the playoffs, I can see Kelce getting 75, 80 yards and a touchdown. I can see Rice getting well over 100 with one or two touchdowns. I can see it happening. It's all about the yak and the accuracy. It really is. If everybody's doing their job, then the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. Well, but also, you know, it's important to recognize you can't make the mistakes that have been happening too. You know, can't have those false starts, holdings, those sort of penalties, drop passes on third down that turn or drop passes on a second and eight that, you know, maybe you're picking up the first down, or that second and eight turns into a third and three, right? Mm-hmm. And so where the full playbook is still open, right? So Kansas City, I know you're not going to eliminate them because this is who this team is, even though that's hard for some people to absorb, to understand that this is who this team is now. They're just a mistake football team. Sorry, but that's the way that it is. But
right now it is. It doesn't mean that's forever. That just means forever.
Yeah. I mean, that's who they are this season. Yeah. I mean, that's who they are, right? We're in the second round of the playoffs now, and last week they made a lot of those mistakes. So if you can limit them and not have them come up in big moments, that's a way that you can win this football game. So that's something you're going to have to keep an eye on. And like I said, that's just the way this football team is now, and we have to accept it. So we got to avoid some of those. With that being said, let's do our score predictions. Gentlemen, I have 26-23 Chiefs. Last time I chose the Bills, and I got a lot of – man, did I get a lot of crap for that. But
yeah, we still are, too.
You know, I was right, so it justifies it. If I was wrong, then you guys wouldn't stop talking about it. But
wrong. You willed that into existence is what you did.
I wish my words were that powerful. Because Michael Pittman Jr. would be a Chief right now.
Hey, Bill O'Brien went to Ohio State as the offensive coordinator, by the way. Mm-hmm. What do you got, Caleb?
I'm going to say last time was 2017. The Chiefs could have won 2017. It could have been 24-20. I'm going to say this game may be a little bit more higher scoring. I'm going to say 39 Buffalo, 31 Chiefs.
You're going against the Chiefs?
No, sorry. 29, not 39. 29.
Wait a minute. Are you 30. Picking Buffalo?
No. It was a misspoke. You know I'm not going to pick Buffalo. In all the time we've done this show, I picked the Chiefs to lose one time.
Holy shit, okay. Man. I'm going to have to take a blood
29 Buffalo, 31 Chiefs. So for all those people who went,
room with you.
What you got, JP?
JP's about to be like 35-0.
No. I actually made a prediction on PSF, and I'm trying to remember what the hell it was. I think I came up with 27-17 Bills. I mean Chiefs.
Jesus.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You got me all jacked up, Caleb.
By myself.
Yeah, you got me all jacked up. 27-17. And that's – oh, it was 27-14. That's what I said. I don't believe for one second that Allen is going to get the yardage that he's gotten during the regular season, and he didn't get against us. But I don't think he's going to get that. I just don't see it. Phillip has 38-24 Chiefs. Now, I like this. I would love to see that happen. I've already got Wood thinking about it. But it is what it is. You got to – I'm going a little conservative on this, and look, man, Allen screws up. There's picks to be had all day long. You know how he is. The guy had 22 interceptions during the regular season. Started off the year with four straight interceptions.
Four fumbles.
And four fumbles. So, I don't know, man. It could very well be one of those games where, like what Cincinnati did to him.
Look,
you know,
it's possible.
I'm not going to go there because of what we have done this year and how we have played this year, I don't know that I can go that high right now. And also, my other thought on this, and something that one of the guys that I talked to with the Chiefs told me, Andy will come out and play the same game he normally plays. And he told me this it was kind of a mixed emotions on MBS. You know, at the end of the week 17, their mindset was, he's not playing again. Mm. He's benched. He ain't playing again. And cooler heads prevailed, and they decided to go ahead and put him out on the field. Tony wasn't ready yet. They were just worried about it, I guess. So they went ahead and played him. And plus, Veach wants to play the guys he pays. But this is going to be a different game because Kansas City's different in the playoffs. They're better. They're better on the road, and the Bills aren't so great in the playoffs. So this could easily be one of those games to where we come out and beat them 35-10. We don't know. But I'm not going to go there just because of how we've been. But again, like I said, Andy will not show his cards until he absolutely has to. This may not be a game that he has to show all of his cards. He wants to say that for the AFC Championship game and hopefully the Super Bowl. So
got to get there first.
Yeah, and be prepared for that. Because if Andy comes out a little, and I don't want everybody to flip out, but if Andy comes out a little bit stagnant, or the Chiefs come out and they're down 10-0 in the first quarter, you know, it don't flip out. Mm-hmm. That's not unusual for us. It's happened pretty much almost every game this season. We have started off in the negative.
Yeah.
So don't flip out. Just understand that that's just how Andy operates. And we might as well just, can I bring up something real quick? Because I've been looking for this. Everybody knows who this Dan Orlovsky is, right?
Yeah, he's the guy that ran out of the back of the end zone.
Dumb fucker. Have you seen his top five quarterback list?
No, and quite frankly, I don't care.
Well, you know, he makes so many mistakes that I have to bring this up. Will's got 31-20 Chiefs. Wow. I love it. That's some good shit. Okay. Number one, Lamar Jackson. Number two, Josh Allen. Number three, Patrick Mahomes. The ones that get me the most. Number four, Baker Mayfield. Number five, Jordan Love. First of all, I want to know how the hell C.J. Stroud wasn't on this top five list. He's a rookie that has now just blown the fucking doors off pretty much everybody he's played, especially in the second half of the season, and including the playoffs. I don't know how he's not on that list. But how did Baker Mayfield get into this mix? Has he played well this year? Yeah. Is he a top five quarterback this year? Fuck no. Purdy has played better than Baker Mayfield has this year.
We got to end the show before this derails even further.
I'm just saying, think about it. I'm not going to rail Baker Mayfield that much because I did enough of that for the first 4 years he was in the league. And Caleb will know it. I couldn't stand him. I couldn't stand the way he looked. I couldn't stand the facial expressions. I couldn't stand anything about him. He was an arrogant prick. And he got his humbling when he got kicked out of Cleveland. And then became a backup. And then now he's with the Bucks. So he's played much better this year. But honestly, there's three other quarterbacks that played better than him this year that should be in the top five. Absolutely should be in the top five. But I don't know where this Dan – I mean, he has made some major mistakes lately, but that was one of the ones that I was like, wow, what the fuck? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He is what Johnny Football should have been, but Johnny was too busy getting drunk and smoking weed. So it is what it is, but I thought that was kind of insane that he didn't have C.J. Stroud on there and he had Baker Mayfield in there. He could have put Brock Purdy in that situation because he's thrown for a ton of yards, minimal picks, and had a great season. And's got them in a great position to move forward. And I said it on the PSS show. They're primed to go to the Super Bowl with that football team because they're 100% healthy. This is the first year since really even prior to since the 19 Super Bowl that we beat them in, that they're 100% healthy on both sides of the ball. So anyway, I just had to bring that up because I thought it was nuts.
Yeah. Speaking of the PSF app, JP, why don't you plug it and talk about the shows that you do on Sunday? Because you'll do that, and then we'll do an after-game show, a post-game show, as it's called, and that'll be it.
That'll be it. If you guys are not on PSF, go to your phone, go to the App Store, download it. It costs you nothing. Join PSF. It's Pro Sports Fans. There's the emblem on the screen. We do basically a Manning cast, just not as politically correct, I guess you could say it that way. We're not as quiet when it comes to certain things. You can say what you want on there. We're audio, we're video. We talk, we have stats, we have odds, we have everything on there that you want. And it's a lot of fun. We do it through the entire game, every game of the season, post games. We're even going to do a Super Bowl show. If we're not in it or we are in it, we're still going to do it. It'll pay me to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. It really depends on who's in the Super Bowl, who I'll be rooting for in the AFC. So it's a lot of fun. We do a lot of crazy shit on there. It's a blast. Sean Salisbury started this, asked us to host it. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to continue on next year. We got a lot of stuff to do this summer with them. So just make sure you join it because it's a blast. It puts Spaces to shame. And you don't have to listen to Joe Buck. You don't have to listen to Troy Aikman. You don't have to listen to Tony Romo say RPO 75 times during a game because he loves to say RPO. That's his favorite phrase. I don't know if you guys listened to the last game he called, but he said RPO 38 times. I counted them. We don't do that. We just talk about what's going on, and it's a lot of fun. So make sure you join in. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I don't think we got anything else, do we?
We're all good to go.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Go Chiefs, and we'll see you guys on Sunday.
Sunday. Peace out, everybody.